Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Let me get my notes here. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and we're going to begin there. Glory be to God. Hey, thanks for being with us on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Just thought it'd be nice because, you know, we're glad you're here. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't go midweek, but we're glad you do. Amen. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Let me find that. And I want to talk to you about something tonight about, I'm going to title it Boldness for Our Times. Amen. Boldness for Our Times. Let's go here to 1 Chronicles. Well, I'll get it. Hallelujah. Have you found it?
Yes.
All right. I'm the one behind here. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. I'm just going to read part of the verse. The Bible says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." You know, you have to have some understanding of the times, and thank God, here's some people that had some understanding of the times to know what ought to be done. Now, you know, you're always, no matter what generation it is, you're always in some times. But we're in some times that we need to know that it's time for boldness.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. That it's time for boldness, that boldness is a must in our generation. Amen.
Amen.
It's not a time to cower because of what's going on in our country or the world. It's a time to be bold about what we believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you know, boldness doesn't mean rudeness. Boldness doesn't mean brassiness. Boldness just means confident, and you just speak the truth. Amen?
Amen.
It's just time for us to turn that. I think it's time for the church, maybe not everybody, but I'm just speaking in general, for the church to turn it up a notch or two. And, you know, maybe you just come to Oasis Church and that's all you ever do. You never listen to anybody else. You never do anything else. Maybe you don't know it, but there's a lot of compromise in the church right now where people have lost their boldness for the Word of God because of the pressure that's been put on them. But you know what? Listen to me. You and I need to stay bold.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Boldness was one of the things that marked Jesus' life and His ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, you find in the Gospels that said that when He taught, the Bible says that they marveled at His teaching. They were astonished at His teaching because He didn't teach as the scribes, but He taught as somebody who had some authority.
Amen.
In other words, somebody that knew, they knew what they were talking about. And they weren't wishy-washy with it. They just put the truth out there. So Jesus had boldness. Amen.
Amen.
And you'll find that, you know, when His disciples, Peter and John and the disciples, when they were arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that they took notice of them because of their boldness. Because they were bold. They knew they were unlearned, untrained men, but they marveled, the Bible says, the King James says, because of their boldness, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
So one of the things that marked Jesus' life that the world knew about was He was bold.
Yeah.
He was bold. And you know, I want to just talk to you about that tonight, about us being bold. Because, you know, we're in challenging times.
Yeah.
You know, listen to me. I've been at this a long time. Some of you have been serving God for, a long time. And I've been in the ministry now, this coming April will be 40 years. And so I have a little bit of background to speak from, and I can tell you right now, this is probably one of the most challenging times in the ministry that I've ever had. And I don't mean that like church with you guys or with the church. I'm just talking about with just being a preacher. Amen. And so, you know, because there's just so much pushback and so much pressure to compromise, but we just have to stay bold in the things of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just be bold about it. You know, when you got something that's good, man, you want to be hanging on to it, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And see, we need, you know, someone gave me a coffee cup, John Wayne on there. And it said something, I can't remember now exactly what it said. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. That sounds like John Wayne, doesn't it? Amen. And so, you know, listen, here's what courage is. You know, one of the things that God told Joshua, you know, when he was going to go into the promised land and face the giants, he said, be strong and be very courageous. Now, what is courage? Well, courage is the ability to face difficulty instead of turning and running.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, right now, the world would like, I don't know, I don't live in other countries, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I've got friends from other countries, but we haven't talked that much about it. But I know in America that society, our government, a lot of it is trying to get the church to back down. You know, the devil, he's got enough sense to know where the power's at. You know, my friend and your friend, maybe if you've got to know him a little bit, that comes here and preaches, Dr. Ingolf Schmidt from Germany, from Leipzig, Germany. You know, he told me this. We were reading one day and he told me this. He said, you know, he was in East Germany when the Berlin Wall was still there. And so he grew up under communism. He told me, he said, well, the reason they put the wall up was because all the good people, all the educated people, a lot of good people were fleeing out of East Germany to get over into West Germany where there was freedom. And so many were going that they built a wall to keep them from getting out. And so, you know, he was in the communist army as a soldier and, you know, and was, you know, they tried to indoctrinate him in communism and so forth. But, you know, he got born again. He got saved. And he told me something. He said, what happened with the Berlin Wall? Now, you know, those of us that remember, we remember that there was a Pope, John Paul II, that was constantly pushing for the Berlin Wall to be torn down. And there was a president by the name of Ronald Reagan that was constantly pushing for the Soviets to tear that wall down because it was put there by the Soviet Union, which was in control of East Germany since World War II. They divided Germany up after Germany was defeated in World War II. It was divided up into different sectors. And, you know, the Russians got part of it. They got the east side, and it was communist. And it was depressed, and it was not a good place to live. And so, and it's funny that we got college kids today that are being taught this junk that socialism's good for you. We just go to, you know, they wanted to get out of it. You know, it's like we're not trying to put a wall to keep up in our country to keep people in. We're trying to keep people, the wrong people, from getting in.
Yeah.
You know, people are trying to get in, not get out. So I don't know why you think it'd be better if we went the way that, you know, the communists did. But that's just, you know, that's reprobate thinking. But anyway, my point, what I was saying was, Pastor Ingolf, we were reading together one day, and he said, in Germany, in East Germany, he said there were certain books that were blacklisted. In other words, you couldn't read these books. They were against the government had blacklisted them. They weren't allowed. And so, and now here's one of the things that really ministered to me when he told me this. He said one of the books that was blacklisted in Germany was Brother Hagin's book on the authority of the believer. I'm thinking, all right, now how does a preacher from Tulsa, Oklahoma, that's never been to East Germany in his life, you know, that most of America doesn't even know who he is, right? Most of the world doesn't even know who he is, but he's written a book, and the communists in East Germany says that's not allowed here. Now, how'd that happen? Well, because the devil knew who Brother Hagin was. And the devil knew that the truth was a threat to the devil's bondage. The devil knew that that book, amen, could change the course of the nations. And so Pastor Ingolf told me this. He said, what happened? You know, of course, we see President Reagan, we see him at the Brandenburg Gate saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down. I'm glad he said it. It was powerful. Amen. He was told by our politicians to leave that part out of your speech, but being Reagan, he paid no attention to that and just spoke the truth.
Amen.
Thank God he did. You know, he said, tear this wall down. And, you know, I said, well, you're going to cause problems. You know, I remember this. It's the same old liberal devil that's alive today. He's the same one. I remember back in those days, they were telling him, tone it down. You're going to get us in the war. Tone it down. He just ramped it up until communism fell. Yeah. Thank God he didn't listen to them, the appeasers. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of, and so Pastor Inghoff told me, he said, here's what happened here in East Germany. He said, a lot of our pastors got a hold of this book on the authority of the believer, and we began taking authority in the spirit realm over this demonic spirit of communism and so forth. You know, we began binding this thing. We began taking authority over that, and eventually it fell down. I totally believe that. I totally believe that it began in the spirit realm with just unknown pastors in Germany that knew that got a hold of authority and began taking authority and said, devil, you're not keeping us in this bondage any longer. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, here's what we gotta have boldness. Amen. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said in the King James, New King James, and all, it says God's not given us the spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. But that word fear also means timidity. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. or you know, not being bold. I think Timothy had a little bit of problem with that. Paul had to address that. He said, because he had time to stir up the gift of God that's in you, and that I put on you with the laying on of my hands. And he said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He said, don't be ashamed of me or the gospel. But be a partaker of the afflictions of God according to the power of God. Yeah, you'll get persecuted, but when you get persecuted, you have the power of God on you. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to go. I'm not going to preach long tonight, but don't say amen. Go to Psalm 2. But there are some things I want to say. I want to read this entire psalm if you have your Bible with you. If you don't, just listen to this. Psalm 2, because it's very, very revealing. Psalm chapter 2, because, you know, we have to stay bold in our times. Yeah. Amen. Because the world's trying to get us to compromise. Actually, they're trying to change the gospel. But there's a lot of things that people say, well, you Christians need to just tone it down here and tone it down. Did you know if we quit preaching it, it still doesn't change it. It's still God's word. Whether we preach it or whether we don't preach it, you know, whether we live it or we don't live it, it's still the word we'll all be judged by. It's still God's word. It's not going to change a thing. Amen. And you know, we're not the judge of people. God's the judge of people. Right? I mean, you know what I'm saying. I don't even want to be. I have enough to take care of with me. Right? See, that's what the Bible said, examine yourself. So I'm not after anybody, but I'm not going to compromise the word. Amen. I'm going to stick with the word. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Psalm 2, and I'm just going to read the whole thing. And I'm reading now the old King James tonight. It says, why do the heathen rage or the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? A vain thing. Everybody say vain. Amen. And for the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. How many know it's vain to come against the Lord and his anointed? That's right. It's not going to work. Right? I don't care if you change the laws of the land, if they're against the Lord and his anointed, it's not going to work. Now notice, he said, let us, see, it says they come against the rulers, the kings, we'd say presidents, leaders of countries, they come against the Lord and against his anointed, and they say this, let us break their, notice that's plural. They came against the Lord, but they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords away from us. That is America today. Is they want to cast off all the restraints of the church. They want to get rid of our voice. Are you with me? And they want to threaten us. If you don't tone that down, if you don't shut that up, we've even had the threats, if you don't tone that down, if you don't shut that up, we're going to take your tax-exempt status away from you. Oh my gosh. Certainly, I will bow to the almighty dollar. Holy dollar, thank you for saving me. I don't think so. I'm going to stay with God.
That's right.
Well, what if people think, well, Pastor, your tax is exempt. No, the church is. I pay more tax than you do. How do you do that? Well, I do. I got an extra tax I have to pay just for being a preacher. All right, so all these threats, you know, is like, you know, they're out to get the church to shut up, because the only thing that's stopping the devil from completely taking over is the church.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist can't even come until the church is taken out of the way. Now, that's the way I interpret that scripture in Thessalonians. Some people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's always going to be here.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Yeah. He's not being taken out. It's the church. See, Jesus said the church, the salt.
Yeah.
Amen. We're the restraining force. Hallelujah. And the devil wants us to weaken it so the restraints are removed.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to show you some things here in just a little bit, and we're going to see this a little bit clearer. But he said, let us break their ban. Man, let's cast off these religious people, these God-fearing people. Let's cast their bands asunder. Cast away their cords from us. I mean, they're just holding us in bondage, telling us, you know, this is wrong or that's wrong. Well, it doesn't really matter what we think about it. It matters what God said about it. Amen. You know, this isn't Oasis Church doctrine. You know what I'm saying? Churches have their, you know, I remember years ago, certain churches, they had their doctrines and so forth. And you couldn't go to the movies. You couldn't do this. You couldn't, you know, if you're a woman, you couldn't cut your hair and all that. You couldn't wear makeup. And, you know, somebody asked Brother Hagin, well, what do you think about that? Women can't wear makeup. I like what he said. He said, even an old barn looks good with some paint on it. I was not calling you ladies old barns, all right? But I got his point. You know what I'm saying? He was simply saying, come on. That's not in the Bible. That's added by the churches. Amen.
Amen.
You know, things you couldn't drink. Maybe years ago, it was a sin to drink Pepsi. It was a sin to drink lemonade and all that. And where's that in the Bible? Let's see. But people just, you know. So this isn't Oasis Church rules. This is God's Word. I mean, God's Word, we all have to live by that. Whether we're saved or not, we're all going to answer to that, right? So he said, but the world would say, let's break that off. Let's get rid of the influence of these church people. We don't want them in government. Did you know that even right now in our government, if somebody's up for an appointment, there are some politicians that have the nerve to ask them if they're believers. That's absolutely none of your business. That has nothing to do with it. Oh, don't get me going on that. I'm trying to preach to you tonight. Listen, let me tell you a little bit of something about separation of church and state. You know what separation of church and state was made for? Why is one of the amendments? It was there to keep the state out of the church.
Right.
Not the church out of the state. You don't believe that? Go back and look at the buildings. They got scriptures on them. If that's the way they would have interpreted it, they wouldn't have built buildings with scriptures on them. Right? They wouldn't have put scriptures in the things that they proclaimed and so forth. No, it's simply because in England, you know, the king had decreed, you know, what everybody's faith was going to be. And you were going to be that or else. And When our country was formed, our founding fathers saw that and said, no, we're not having that. We're not having the state to get involved and tell the church what to do or how people are supposed to believe. So it wasn't at all. Now today they've reversed it to keep the church out of the state, but I don't know whether you notice it or not, the state sure wants to get involved in the church. Amen. Well, anyway, it's good preaching. Hallelujah. Now, all right. Now notice this. Verse 4, he says, let's back up. Let's read verse 3 again. Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. I wonder who that is. That's God, right? He's laughing at him. You think you're going to have your way? He said, he laughed. The Lord shall have them, and the word here is derision. The Lord shall have them in derision. The word derision just means that he will mock them. How many know he is still God? How many know that?
And as God having, you know, he probably could handle anybody that comes against him, right? Now, he says, verse 5, then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will decree the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now listen, here's God's instruction now. I mean, this is good for today, right? Be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, or literally do homage to the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, I read that psalm because I really wasn't going to talk all that much about it, but I just wanted to read it because I wanted you to see the reason we can be bold is because he's in charge.
Amen.
Said he laughs. Amen. He laughs. You know, when the world thinks they're going to change his word, he just laughs. This is not going to happen. Amen. Now, let's go. I want to look at two scriptures more. 1 John chapter 2, New Testament. 1 John chapter 2. Amen. I hope you get something out of this tonight. It's going to be just short and sweet, but we have to realize we're in a time where it requires boldness. Because, I mean, they're bold about what they believe. Amen. You know, everybody's coming out of the closet, but then the Christians are going back in it. Christians ought to be coming out of it and be bold. Hallelujah. Amen. See, you see, Hollywood has no clue. You know, they show these movies, you know, and the preacher's this wimpy guy, about half feminine or whatever. I'm thinking, I don't even run around men like, I run around with true men, true preachers. You know, it's like my pastor said one time, he said, don't mistake me for a clergy. I'm a man of God. That's what he told somebody one time. Don't mistake me for a clergyman. I'm a man of God. You go back in the Old Testament, the men of God, when Samuel would come into town, the Bible said the elders trembled.
Yes.
You think that was a little mamby-pamby guy, you know, a Wally Cox type guy? That went over your head. Well, somebody, Wally Cox, but he was pretty squeaky. But anyway, you know. See, it's just total of you. Now, I was watching a John Wayne movie, and he had a preacher with him, you know, this religious guy, and there's they come over, John Wayne and his crew come over this hill, and I mean, there is Indians as far as you can see. You know, I mean, they're just everywhere. And the preacher like, Lord, thank you for that which we're about to receive. I'm thinking, you dope. You're about to get slaughtered if John Wayne's not with you. That's one thing I like about Westerns. I always know how they're going to end because I know they're not going to kill him. I've been watching Audie Murphy lately. I'm thinking, and I told Phyllis, I almost texted her to pray for him because he was in real deep trouble the other night. I mean, it looked like he is not going to make it out of this movie, man. I won't be able to watch him any longer. But he always makes it. I was watching him last night. He's out in the street, you know, and three guys are out there going to draw on him. Three. Just him. Three. I thought, I better text Miss Phyllis to pray for Audie because this doesn't look good. But he made it.
Amen.
So, you know, I can keep watching him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But see, that's just a religious, and there have been preachers like that. Don't misunderstand me. But those aren't the men I hang around with.
Yeah.
And true women of God, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That they're strong. Amen. They're bold. Hallelujah. Not brassy, not arrogant, not mean, but just bold. We're not backing down what we believe. Amen. We're not changing what we believe. Well, yeah, but culture is changing. Well, listen to me. Listen, just because culture changes doesn't mean the word changes.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
You know, some people want our constitution to change because change with society. It's got to change. It's got to evolve. They call it a living document. It means it's a changing document. No, it literally says what it says, and that's the way we should take it. And the Bible says what it says, and that's the way we should take it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether we like it or not. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to go 1 John chapter 2. Has anybody ever had parts of the Bible that kind of, you know, it was like, ouch. Sure. Yeah. Amen. Amen. See,
If you don't think you need to change, that's the height of pride, isn't it? You're always going to have to be changing, right? Now, all right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. John says, little children, it's the last time or the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist or the Antichrist is coming, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he's simply saying to the believers then, he's saying that the real Antichrist is coming. There is actually going to be a man called the Antichrist. He's coming. But he said already there's Antichrist in the earth. What does that mean? Well, he's saying that spirit of Antichrist is already working in the earth. So it's already here. Now, what is anti? Notice, it's anti-Christ. Amen. It's against Christ, see. That spirit is there. And there are people. Now, listen now. I hope you listen to what I'm saying now. There are people that claim to be Christians that are anti-Christ in their behavior. And their actions. They don't represent Christ. They're against what he says. So they're anti-Christ. Now, John went on to say in the fourth chapter, go to the fourth chapter of that same book, John, 1 John 4, he said in verse 2, he said, hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah is come in the flesh is of God. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he's simply saying every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he's come in the flesh, he's the Lord, is of God. But every spirit, now, verse 3, that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have already heard that it should come. Even now, it's already in the world. See, he said, in other words, there's coming a day when the spirit of Antichrist is going to take over the world, see, the Antichrist. But he said, it's already working right now in the world. So there's already a spirit of Antichrist working in the world. And now listen, what is the Antichrist? It is any spirit that denies that Jesus Christ is the anointed one and has come in the flesh, and he is Lord in his spirit. So when people get on TV, like one famous person, I think that I'll just leave her unnamed, but she's almost revered as a talk show host, gets on her program and says, well, Jesus is one way to get to heaven, but there are many other ways. That is the spirit of Antichrist. That's what that is. We need to know that. Why? Because if that's so, if what she says so, then Jesus Christ lied. Because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. A lady said to me one time in this church, she was not a member of our church, but a visitor, and we got into conversation, and I asked her, I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, that he's the Savior of the world? Well, I believe he was a good teacher. I said, well, that's not what I ask you. I said, I ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is the, you know, he came in, you know, and then he came to save the whole world, that he's the Son of God? She said, well, I believe he's a good prophet. I said, then are you telling me that you don't believe he's the Son of God, he's divine? Well, no. I said, well, then if that's the case, he isn't a good prophet and he isn't a good teacher. He isn't even a good person because he said he was. So if what you believe, that he, if you believe he's not, then forget calling him a good teacher, forget calling him a good prophet because he's not that. But how many know he is all of that? Amen. So see, there's no middle ground for this. Either Jesus is who he said he was, or he's not. Amen? So now I want you to notice now. See, there's that Antichrist spirit. Now, what is that Antichrist spirit? It's that push against Christ. It's that push against
God's word. It's that push against those things. It's that trying to silence us. I'll tell you, the Antichrist spirit's strong in America. And we Christians have to be stronger. Amen. Amen. It isn't a time, like I've heard some of our preachers get up and say, well, and just be mealy-mouthed about it and can't give a straight answer. I'm thinking, just get out of the ministry. If you're no more convinced than that, just forget it. Is this too strong a preaching tonight? All right. See, I mean, I've heard some of them. You know, it's like, well, you know, what about this group? Are they going to heaven? Well, we don't judge. We're not the judge, but God's Word's the judge. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Right. Now, if you don't know that as a preacher, go get a job doing something else. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know I'm strong tonight, but you know, we have to, the church has to get back to being bold.
Yeah.
Not arrogant, not rude, but just being bold. It's like a group came to Brother Hagin one time and they came to him and they said, now, they said, if you're saved, we're not. I love what Brother Hagin said. He said, that's the best indication I ever had that you're not saved. Because I know I am. Now, that's not arrogant, but it's just that we know we've done what the Word says. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me now? All right. Now, here's what's happening with a lot of our ministers today. Not, well, I say a lot, but some. But there's just, you know, one's too many. And some of them are like prominent ministers that are just, they're just being too mealy-mouthed about this thing because they don't want to offend the world. Listen, truth is going to offend the world.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
They're already offended. I don't know if you know that or not, but, right? I mean, you can't hardly do anything today that somebody's not offended at you. You know, they're offended over this or offended over that. But you might as well just get over that, right?
That's right.
I mean, you know, hey, we're not out to offend people, but truth offends. You know, light when it shined, I don't know if you've ever been, you know, in your bedroom and all the lights are out and you've been asleep and somebody flips the lights on. I mean, that's abrasive, right? But thank God for light. So light offends. So if you think you're going to live for Christ in this generation and not offend people, then you're going to have to be, you're going to have to compromise. You can't do it. You got to be strong in these last days. Amen. See, that's why even in Jesus' day, the Bible talks about there were many, many of the chief rulers believed on Jesus, yet because they were afraid they'd get put out of the synagogue, they wouldn't confess him. And it says they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Now think about that. I don't love the praises of the Antichrist spirits more than I do the praises of God. Amen. You know, sometimes I'll get asked by people, well, I mean, I remember a guy asking me about a certain issue, you know, one of the modern day hot button issues, you know, here it's been some time ago, asked me about it. I told him what the Word says, you know. Well, yeah, but no, there isn't any but about it.
Right.
Amen. You know, he uses this weak thing, you know, like everybody interprets the Bible different. No, the Bible says what it says. Right? If that works, you try this. Next time you're going down I-69 and you're doing 95 and you get pulled over and the policeman says the speed limit is 70, you just tell him, now everybody interprets that different. Hey, it's not going to matter right now how you interpreted it. What's going to matter is how he interpreted it.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't matter how we interpret the Bible. It's how God interprets it and what he said. If he said, don't do that, how many of you shouldn't do that?
Right.
If he said, do that, you should do that. Right. Amen. So it isn't like it's up for interpretation. It just says what it says. Amen?
Right. Amen.
All right. So we have to be bold. Amen. Now, I want you to notice this. This is the verse I wanted to get to. Verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4. But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. What's he say? Well, the greater one, greater than the Antichrist spirits inside of us. Hallelujah. We have the greater one living inside of us.
Amen.
We got to get to the place, not in an arrogant way. I hope you understand and hear my heart. Not in an arrogant way, But it's like Paul said to the church at Corinth. He said, it matters little to me to be judged by you. He said, I'm judged by the Lord. Right? It matters little to me that some sinner person out here doesn't like the way I believe. It matters little to me. I don't care. I might love them, but I don't care that they don't like me because I stand for truth. Or you should be the same way. Right? Remember Jesus was preaching so strong one night that everybody, the whole crowd, left him? Remember that? That's in John 6. It says they all left him. You know, he knows he didn't stop. Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it so rough. I didn't mean to say it. No, he just let him go. And then he looked at the disciples and said, will you go also? And you kind of think Peter was thinking about it because he says, where would we go? Is there another full gospel church in town? No, you've got the words of eternal life. So he stayed put. Amen. So sometimes that's going to happen. Amen. I mean, you know, there's going to be offense. People are not going to like the way you think. But have you know, this is one thing I had to come to. Listen, before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I had to come to this point. Listen, I cared too much about what people thought. You know, I was in the world, the drug culture, the drug world, and I had all those connections. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hundreds of people. I don't know how many, but hundreds of people. I had those connections. And so I'm in that world. That's my lifestyle. And I would think, you know, I know I should give my life to Jesus Christ. I mean, I knew that. But I thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell everybody? What am I going to do here? So their opinion mattered to me. And I'll never forget the night that it got broke off of me. And I've told some of this story, but not the whole thing. But it's important that you understand. You have to begin to think right. And I remember one night as a sinner, I was in a bar, and the band was playing a song called On the Highway to Hell. It was a popular song in those days, On the Highway to Hell. And what a song, right? What, you know? And I looked up there, and I saw people dancing, and they were dancing to On the Highway to Hell. And all of a sudden, it hit me, Pastor Chuck. I thought, now wait a minute. These are the people I'm allowing to direct my life? They're up there dancing because they're going to hell. I said, they're a bunch of fools. Well, that hit me really like a ton of bricks that night in that bar over in the state of Illinois. It hit me and I realized I'm allowing these people to direct my life. Why would I do that? Amen. Are you with me now? See, not in an arrogant way, but we shouldn't let what the opinions of others direct our lives. I mean, if I bought a new truck a few years back, a little over three years ago. If I pull in the driveway with my new truck and my neighbor comes out and says, you know, I hate silver trucks. You know what? Fine, but I don't care. I didn't buy it for you. I don't know if you know this or not. Your name, I didn't buy it for you. You may not even ever drive it. I bought it for me. It's my life. Right? See, don't allow the influences of your unsaved friends, neighbors, family members to influence you to go the way they're going. Amen. It's not their life, it's your life. Amen. Amen. You know, I didn't go ask all my family members if I should marry Miss Phyllis. There was only one opinion there was only two opinions that mattered. The Lord's and hers. You understand that? It's not going to be their wife. She's going to be my wife. She didn't have to get from her permission from her family members and say, are you okay? No, it doesn't matter. See, this is what we got to get to as believers. We got to get boldness in our lives. We're not arrogant about it, but it just means little to me whether you like that I speak in tongues or I believe the Bible literally. Or you know, some people think you know you're crazy because you're going to church all the time. It's just really none of your business. How about that? Amen. Is that good preaching or what? See, I used to read a scripture in the book of Revelation. I used to wonder why that is. It says, in the King James, it says, talking about those that will be put into lake of fire. It says the fearful, the unbelieving, the, you know, the,
the sexually immoral, and went on and list the murderers and list a bunch of people that would be put into the lake of fire. And I thought, now why would the fearful be in there? But when you read it out of the New King James, it really translates that word a little better. It says, but the cowardly, the cowards. Now why will cowards go to hell? Because they care too much about what people think and won't live strongly for Jesus. Amen. See, I had to come to that place in my life because the devil would just torment me with that. Like, what are you going to tell everybody? What are you going to tell everybody? Here's what I found out. Here's what I found out. I found this out. The devil said, you're going to have to tell all, you're going to have to tell 500 people and fight 500 people off. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not going to leave you alone. You know, when you get in that culture, sometimes they don't want to let you go. I'm serious. If you've never been in there, you might not know, but it's a strong culture, and sometimes they don't want to let you go. And of course, there were some of them that didn't want to let go. They kept after me, trying to drag me back into the world and so forth. But yet, still, here's what I found out. The best way to do it, the best way to tell them is tell one of them really strong, and the word gets around. And every time they come to you to try to drag you back into that, you tell them really strong. I mean, I've been saved like a week or two, you know, I've been saved, and one of my friends had called me and tried to get me to go to a party, and I said, I'm not going, you know, and he said, well, yeah, you are. I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, I'm coming after you, and I said, well, I'm not going to go, you know, and he said, well, why not? I said, I got saved. He said, saved from what? I said, saved from hell. I just said it strong. And then he didn't give up. The next weekend, he did come. He came to my house. He brought some guys with him. And he said, you know, we're doing this and you're going with us. We're going to drag you out there. And I had a little book by Brother Hagin on I Went to Hell. And I said, here, take this and get out of here. Read this. You know, because I wasn't so sanctified, I wouldn't have punched him if push came to shove. You know what I'm saying? I still had some rough edges around me. And so, you know, but I mean, we were good friends. So, but I'm going a different direction now. Wasn't I was too good for them? You know, one of them, you know, like he told me, said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "Things haven't changed. We're still." I said, "No, everything's changed. You can come with me, but I'm not going with you." They did get me out on a pontoon. I made one mistake. One mistake. I had one friend in my life. One friend. Everybody's like, "One." I had one friend that didn't do drugs. One. That's it. That's the only friend I had that didn't do drugs. One friend. And he came to my house. He said, hey, why don't you go with me? I'm thinking, no, I shouldn't do this, you know. And he kept pressuring me. No, come on. Go with me. He said, some of the guys are out on a pontoon boat. That should have clued me off right then. And he said, let's just go out there. And I thought, well, he doesn't do drugs. Maybe I'm safe here. So I went with him, you know, and we went out on the pontoon boat. Sure enough, man, they're doing drugs, you know. You know what I'm saying? And their hand passing a joint around, you know, and they pass it to me. You know, I should have threw it in the lake. But the only thing is, I'd have went in with it. But anyway, you know, I passed it. You know, I didn't hit all. I passed to the next guy. And as soon as I got off that boat, I thought, that's the last time that's ever going to happen in my life. If they want to come with me, they can come with me, but I'm not going with them. You just can't be dumb, see? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just got out of the world. You know what I'm saying? This is 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just a babe in the Lord, man. But yet, I realize I can't do this again. I can't never go where these guys are at again. Unless I go to their house to witness to them or something like that, or something neutral ground, I cannot go where they're at because, listen, this won't work. Amen. I'm a new creature. Hallelujah. Amen. Not religious. You understand? I'm not talking about being religious. I'm just a new, that's not my life any longer. I don't want that any longer. Amen. But listen, as the world pushes, we got to know greater is He that's in us. Amen. So why won't the cowardice make it? Well, because they care too much about what people think to live for the Lord. See, the Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. Amen. You know, you can let your realities keep you from the word, from the gospel, from salvation. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? He said, it's the power of God unto salvation. See, if you think you're going to win people without the gospel, you're going to have to do it without the power of God. Amen. See, let me just talk to you a little bit. Is this all right? Let me talk to you a little bit about relevance. You know, there's been a real big push for relevance in the church. But let me talk to you about what relevance is not. Relevance is not compromise. It's not compromise. Amen? Relevance, if you're going to be relevant, you're not going to compromise the Word. Amen? Relevant may mean we use modern technology and modern things to preach the Word, but we still preach the Word. Right? See, you know, there's things that we do that, you know, I mean, for instance, you know, when you're talking to a sinner, you need to learn how to talk to them the right way so you're relevant, so they understand you. I mean, because some of the Christian terms we use, they don't understand that. So you can't be like super spiritual. You got to tone it down, but you don't compromise truth. Right? I mean, they're not going to understand gifts of the Spirit. They're not going to understand anointing. They're not going to understand, oh, the glory came. They're not going to understand. You know what I'm saying? You got to talk to them in terms that are relevant that they can understand. So that doesn't mean we water down the message. It just means when we're talking with them, we want to speak on terms where they can understand what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you ought to come to our church. I mean, the Holy Ghost really moves. You got ghosts in your church? It's like his minister said, they were at one of Brother Hagin's meetings, one of his Holy Ghost meetings, you know. He said after the service, all of us preachers, there's about 80 of us, we went out to eat and invaded this restaurant. Well, you know, when 80 people come walking into the restaurant, it's gonna draw some attention. So, you know, the lady asked one of the ministers, where are you guys from? Oh, we just came from a Holy Ghost meeting. God's moving, you know what I'm saying? And she goes, do you have to have a costume to go to that? See, this guy's just not using a whole lot of sense here. You know, they don't understand these terms. You know, three got slain in the Spirit. Well, who killed them? Are you with me? That relevance doesn't mean we water down the message. We act like the world. We look like the world. We talk like the world. It means we say it in a way they can understand it. Amen. Amen. See, there's things I will say to you I would not say to a group of sinners because they wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. Amen. You know, amen. So now, let's close. Did you get anything tonight?
Yes.
Let's close. We're going to read the scripture and we're done tonight. I went a little longer than I planned on, but anyway, that happens sometimes. Acts chapter 4, this is it. And we'll just read this and we'll close out. Hallelujah. Thank God for boldness.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 4. And I just want to read to you because I want to show you something here in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. Now what's happened is the apostles have been preaching and they have arrested them. And they told them they didn't tell them they couldn't preach any longer. They didn't tell them they couldn't speak any longer. But they told them, don't do it in the name of Jesus. Don't do it in this name. You want to go out there and preach, go out there and preach. But don't use the name of Jesus Christ. It was an antichrist spirit, see. So it wasn't that they were telling them, you can't preach, you can't, just don't do it in that name. See, the government, like even in America, they're coming against the churches, a lot of them. And you know, some people are just ignorant of it because they don't, that's not their world. But they're coming against the churches. And it's not that they necessarily want us to shut down, they want us to change our message. See. Amen. But it's the Antichrist spirit. But here's what they did. They were arrested, you know, and then they let them go. And in verse 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests, elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, said, Lord, you're God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the heathen and the nations rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Well, I mean, we just read that. That's Psalm 2. So here we are again. See, this is happening. It's happening today, but it's happening then. See, and he says,
Verse 27, for of a truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before should be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Everybody say boldness.
Boldness.
I want you to notice what they did. They prayed for boldness. Hallelujah. See, boldness, now listen to me. You say, well, Pastor, my nature is not bold, I'm timid, and I'm shy. Listen, boldness, Bible boldness, is not a human quality or characteristic. It's a Holy Ghost-given thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's something that God gives you, and it's something you can pray for, and you can ask God for. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, pray for me that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for boldness. Why? Not arrogance, but boldness. Hallelujah. We need boldness for our day. Amen. I thank God, you know, even in our school systems, I'm not saying they're all bad. I don't know. But I certainly have seen plenty of stuff on the news where they're trying to teach our kids stuff they have no business teaching them. You with me? It's not their place. Amen. And I thank God there are parents rising up in America and saying, you're not doing that. Thank God for their boldness. That's what they ought to do. They're your kids. You're not teaching my kids that. Not going to happen. We need that boldness back in America. Why? We need to take back our country from the devil. The church has been too timid for too long, too compromising, and now we got a mess. We need to be bold. I know a lot of churches are, but we need the whole church across America to be of one mind and one spirit and one heart. Hallelujah. Just because somebody's going to get offended. We don't want to offend anybody. We want to reach them. Listen, you can't reach them by compromising. Let me tell you something. When I was a sinner, but when I was a sinner, if I'd have ran into somebody out partying and drinking like us and telling me about Jesus Christ, I would have thought he's a nut. He'd have lost any kind of witness with me whatsoever. Don't you think the world still thinks the same way? When we do what they do and then try to win them to our Jesus, do you think that they really believe us? Of course not. They laugh at us. And when the church tries to appease sinners, it loses its witness and loses its power. Hallelujah. When I came into that church back in 1981, there wasn't anything relevant there for me as far as the way they did things. Their music wasn't relevant. Listen, now you listen now. Yeah, well, we got to have relevant music. I tell you what's relevant. Relevant music is the music that the Holy Ghost appreciates. Oh, we got to have relevant music. Let me just tell you something about that. A friend of my pastor, Dr. Barclay's, I know who he's talking about, but we leave him unnamed. He said, and this is my, I'm closing with this. He said, we decided that we wanted to win the youth of our city. And he told Dr. Barclay, he said, so we started playing, having our youth group meetings and playing worldly music and dressing like the world and presenting it, you know, just toning it down. He said, we got a lot of kids. He said, we had about 1,200 came. He said, but I want to tell you what happened. He said, none of those 1,200, well,
a lot of those 1,200, they weren't converted. They were just coming because we had loud music and pizza and everything else. He said, they perverted our own youth in our church. Started being sexually immoral, drugs, and everything else. Our own church, our own good kids got perverted. Even the pastor, you know, he dressed down to, and he was like in his 50s or 60s, but he tried to dress like the young people. Finally, his own son, who was a young guy, finally said, Dad, he said, these kids don't want another youth pastor. They want a pastor. You just look stupid. Let me tell you what wins people. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ still works. Hallelujah. Amen. That, am I saying that, you know, yeah, I understand young people maybe like music a little different than ours, and that would be fine as long as we keep it sanctified, anointed, and in line with the Word, right? But when I came into that church, you understand, I came out of the hippie movement. I came out of Led Zeppelin. I came out of all those old bands, you know, The Who, Aerosmith. Some of those guys are still playing and should be at home playing with their grandkids or great-grandkids. But they still, I mean, Mick Jagger still tours. Hasn't anybody told him you're too old? Hasn't he got a friend in the world to be honest with him and say, you're ugly, you're old, go home? Jumping jack last, don't jumping jack like you did. But, you know, we grew up on those groups. That was my life. That's the way I lived. I lived that way. I was a rock and roller to the core, man. I had the hair to prove it. I know I don't now, but this was a lot of years ago. I had the hair to prove it. When I walked into that Pentecost church, they didn't do a single song I knew. But here's what I recognize. There's something here that's supernatural. Amen. There's something here I don't have, and I need this. Amen. I'm glad they didn't try to be relevant when they say, hey, you know what? That dopey's coming this Sunday night. You know, we're going to do Stairway to Heaven. Because he'll relate to that. And after all, it's got the word heaven in it. Yeah, see, you know what I would have done? I would have thought, here's what would happen. I would have thought, they're no different than I am. What do I need to come here for? I'll just go back to the bar. But I realized they had something different. And they were bold about it.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.